Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the Mahabharata character series. We are now going to discuss about Drona. In the first session on Drona, we discussed from poverty to power. How he, despite being born in poor circumstances, despite being rejected by Drupada, by his skills, he attracted the attention of the Pandavas, and then by the assistance of Bhishma, benevolence of Bhishma, he set up his own Gurukul, which became famous among all the warriors in Bharatvarsha. And in this way he trained many of the greatest princes who would later become rulers of the different kingdoms in the world. As he was training his students, over a period of time, all different students started excelling in different fields. So he focused on all of them according to their capacities and gave them knowledge. He was an excellent teacher, and he surpassed all the other teachers of warfare during his times. And that's why all the kings sent their sons, the future kings, the princes, to him for training from various parts of the world. Even Karna came to him. Karna had been born to Kunti before her marriage. We will discuss about this later. But Drona told him that fighting is normally the activity of a Kshatriya, and I will train those who are born in the Kshatriya family. So we will discuss about the ethics of this later, more in detail. But the point was that Karna at that time had not exactly exhibited his Kshatriya qualities. And in general it was that Kshatriyas would be capable, would be the people who would be trained in warfare. So Drona followed that protocol. We discussed that this was not necessarily narrow-mindedness, because Drona was so broad-minded that he was ready to train even the person who was just trying to kill him, Drishtadyumna. Now after this, as he started training, he decided to test his students in various ways. So one day he had taken all his students to a river side, and as he was swimming inside the river, suddenly an alligator came over there, and the alligator caught Drona at his leg and started dragging him and devouring him. And Drona, though powerful and resourceful enough to free himself from the alligator's jaws, cried out, "Oh students, please save me! Please save me!" So seeing their teacher and the clutches of this deadly alligator, the students froze, petrified, not knowing what to do and how to do it. Arjuna, however, had lightning sharp reflexes. He immediately took up his bow and arrow and started shooting series of arrows at the alligator. And the alligator was cut apart to pieces, and Drona was released. And in that way, Drona tested and demonstrated not just the skills but also the training and reflexes and sharpness of responses. And seeing Arjuna's alertness and sharpness, quickness of reflex actions, presence of mind, he was very pleased, and he told him that I will give you some special knowledge. And he gave him the knowledge of the Brahmastra at that time. This teacher wants to teach everyone, and the teacher wants to teach everything that is known to the teacher, but teachers teach according to what the students can accept, what the students can digest. When the teachers see that the students are eager to learn more and more, then they teach more and more. So Arjuna was, this was just one incident, but there are many other incidents which demonstrated the diligence of Arjuna, and that diligence endeared him to Dronacharya. So at another time, Dronacharya had his own son Ashwatthama, who also he was training in his Gurukul, and Ashwatthama also was very good at warfare, but still he was not as good as Arjuna. And naturally there was some special affection that the father had for his son, so he wanted to give some special knowledge to his son. So he told all the students, "You go to the riverside and you get water, and you have to fill a particular container, each of them had to fill it. So it would require several trips." And he gave a bigger container to Ashwatthama so that he could come back quickly, and when he came back quickly, Drona would give him some special knowledge. So seeing this, Arjuna realized what is happening, and Arjuna was so eager to learn more and more from his teacher that he immediately used celestial weapons. He used Varuna Astra given from Varunadev that produces water, and there itself Ashwatthama would have gone and come much earlier than others, but still he had to go to the riverside and get water. By using mystical weapons, Arjuna produced water over there itself, and therefore he did not go anywhere, and he had to come back. He was able to fulfill the task much earlier than even Ashwatthama, what to speak of the others. And this was not just a demonstration of Arjuna's expert usage of mystical weapons. It was not just a demonstration of his presence of mind, but it is also a demonstration of his eagerness to learn. And this also pleased Dronacharya. So Dronacharya was a very perceptive teacher, and he had trained his students to the best of his capacity. But some students had greater intelligence, greater dedication, greater eagerness to learn, and actually they learned more. So one time he decided to test among themselves. So he took all of them out to a forest, and he had kept a dummy bird on top of a tree, and he told students one by one to come and see. So he asked Yudhishthir to come forward, and he said, "Yudhishthir, what do you see over there?" He said, "I see the tree, I see the branches, then I see the sky, and from the corner of the eyes I can see all of you, you and the other students." So Drona got annoyed and he said, "Step aside." And then Bhima came, Duryodhana came, all the other students came, and they gave similar answers, and Drona told them all, "Step aside." Then Arjuna finally came, and Arjuna picked up his bow and arrow, and he said, "What do you see? Do you see the tree and the sky behind?" He says, "No, I see only the bird." Dronacharya was pleased, his hair stood on end, and he said, "Okay, describe the bird to me." He said, "I can not even see the bird. My eyes are fixed only on the head of the bird." "Okay," he said, "describe the head of the bird." He said, I can only describe the head of the bird in outline because my eyes are focused only on the eye of the bird, because you want me to hit the eye of the bird." And he said, "Shoot." And as he shot, it went and directly pierced the target. And Drona was very pleased. And Drona, he said, told all the students that the fixedness in hitting can only come when there is fixedness in seeing. When you want to hit some goal, when you want to hit some target, when you want to achieve some goal, you have to focus on that. If you think of hundreds of other things at the same time, then we will not be able to focus on that. Now, does this mean that if a Kshatriya is fighting, Kshatriya should focus only on the target and not be aware of anything else? What about somebody attacking from the side, somebody attacking from behind? Should the Kshatriya not be alert about other things also? Yes, Kshatriya definitely has to be alert. There's no doubt about that. But there are several other factors involved also. Normally, when there was a Kshatriya warfare in those times, the Kshatriyas would not ambush others. They would challenge and then fight, call out a challenge. So in that sense, Kshatriyas would not be so much at threat due to ambush attacks. But still, if somebody goes to a forest or somebody's face with some dacoits, they may attack by ambush. So normally, a Kshatriya has to be alert. But there is alert awareness with a focus. We are generally aware of things around us and we are focused on one particular thing. But there is a distraction where our consciousness is going from here, okay, what is there, what is there, what is there, what is there. It is going here and there, but actually we are not focusing on anything, we are not doing anything at all. So when it is required at that particular point, Arjuna did not need to focus on too many things. And that's why what was needed for him to focus was on that one particular thing, the head of the bird, and specifically the eye of the bird. Now, when it is required for a Kshatriya, that same alert awareness, which is focused on one thing in one's environment, can also be focused on all directions in one's environment. So, concentration is a capacity which can be used to focus on one object or which can be used to focus on our entire surroundings, whatever is required. So that's how that virtue is what Dronacharya was extolling in Arjuna. And we also, to the extent we stay fixed in our understanding of the purpose of life, then we will be able to march ahead. Otherwise, if we think that there are hundreds of goals, I want to do this also, I want to do this also, this also, then we cannot make any steady progress either in our material life or in our spiritual life. Even in material life, one needs to have steady, focused goals. And so, is true is all the more in spiritual life. So, this is what is demonstrated by Arjuna, and this is what actually was demonstrated by Drona through Arjuna. Now, as the training progressed and the students excelled, it emerged over a period of time that Ashwatthama became excellent in discharging mystical weapons. Yudhishthira became matchless as a spear fighter and as a chariot fighter. Nakula and Sahadeva became matchless as sword fighters. Bhima and Duryodhana, they were strong rivals. They all both became peerless in mace fighting. Arjuna, however, excelled in all weapons, and he became what was called as Atiratha. Atiratha means a formidable warrior, a warrior of the highest rank, who can fight 60,000 warriors at the same time. We may seem this is find this inconceivable. How can somebody fight like that? But that is a level of competence that somebody has. Somebody can have a systematic study training, and that's what he had acquired. Now moving forward, then Ashwatthama, as all of them were trained slowly, then when their training was nearing conclusion, Dronacharya came to the royal assembly and he told Dhritarashtra that now your sons and nephews have completed their military training, and if you permit, then we can have a martial exhibition where they can exhibit for the pleasure of the royal family and the citizens, they can exhibit their skills. So Dhritarashtra said, yes, we will all go, we will all let all the citizens come and see the great skills of our successors, and Vidura will be my eyes. So take his help and make whatever arrangements are required. And soon they selected a auspicious place in the outskirts of the city, and they started constructing a magnificent stadium over there. On all sides there were seats which were rising upwards. Wealthy businessmen sponsored the making of this whole stadium. And then when it was set up, the news spread far and wide, and hundreds of citizens from all over, not only Hastinapur, but from nearby areas also, from all over the kingdom, came to see this martial exhibition. And all the whole royal family came. Gandhari came with Kunti. Kunti was the eyes of Gandhari, and Vidura was the eyes of Dhritarashtra. And other kings like Bahalika and others who were also the well-wishers of the Kuru family, they also came. Because it is an occasion of celebration. This was like something like we have a graduation ceremony. Now, when the students have studied and have graduated, then the family and the relatives come there to the graduation ceremony to celebrate. So that's what they had come here for. And as they came forward, then the students came one by one, and all of them started exhibiting their skills. And they mounted on horses and on chariots and started shooting arrows in all directions, hitting stationary targets as well as hitting moving targets. And some of the fears, some of the citizens became paralyzed by fear, some others became so panicky they started fleeing away, some others just remained fearless, seated with their eyes wide open in wonder, amazed to see the skills. And Dhritarashtra was eagerly asking Vidura, what is happening? And every one of them described their skills. And at that time Drona was presiding over, he would invite each warrior to come forward and speak, exhibit their skills. So Drona was dressed in white robes, he had white garlands on his body, he had white sandalwood paste sprinkled on his face and on the visible limbs of the body. Then he also had white beard and white hair. And he was accompanied by right by his side with Ashwatthama. So he looked like the shining white moon with Mars next to him. And this was a moment of glory for both the teacher and the students as they exhibited to the world the success of their magnificent training. Now, he invited Bhima and Drona to come, Bhima and Duryodhana to come. And both of them were expert at mace fighting, and they started fighting. And they looked at each other with animosity and started hitting, pounding each other. And as soon as it became heated, the audience also became excited. And some in the audience started favoring Bhima. And they said, just see how gigantic his body is, how powerful he is. He is far better a mace fighter. Others said, just see how expert Duryodhana is. How he's swinging around his mace, how fast he's moving, how fleet-footed he is better. And as the fight went on and on, it was meant to be an exhibition fight, but it became in dead earnest, with both of them trying their best to hit each other. When Drona saw that the fight had become too earnest, he signaled to Ashwatthama. And Ashwatthama ran in between both the fighters and pulled them aside, raising their hands and got them separated. Told them, this is just an exhibition, stop, stop, stop. And both of them glanced balefully at each other and went away. And then, after all the warriors had exhibited their skills, at that time, Arjuna came. And when Arjuna came, everybody started cheering. And as they started cheering, what happened? Dhritarashtra's heart started burning with envy. He asked, what has happened? He said, Arjuna has come and he is exhibiting skills which no one has been able to exhibit till now. Then externally he spoke, oh, how fortunate is our Kuru dynasty to have such a glorious warrior like Arjuna in it. But internally his heart was burning. Was Duryodhana not equal to Arjuna? Why had the citizens not cheered in this way when Duryodhana had come? If only he had eyes to see, he would be able to see for himself whether Arjuna was so good that he deserved such cheers. And Arjuna's skills were incomparable. He exhibited single-handedly all the skills that the previous students had exhibited, and he exhibited more skills. He was able to shoot arrows in such a way that with one arrow, arrows go by a straight path, but when invested with mantra power, they can go into straight path. With one single arrow, he could shoot and pluck all the leaves of a tree with one arrow itself. And like that, he was able to do stunning feats with his arrows. And everybody was stunned. This was Arjuna's glory. And actually, Drona, when on several occasions Arjuna had pleased him, Drona had told him, especially on that day when he had shot the bird's eye so carefully and so conscientiously, at that time he had said that, you will become the greatest archer. In fact, you are the greatest archer. By your diligence, there is no one who is left to be as good as you. So, he had already promised him, and Arjuna had, by his own skills as well as by his diligence, lived up to the potential which Drona had seen in him and helped Drona to fulfill that promise which he had given. There was no doubt that Arjuna was the greatest warrior among all of the warriors assembled there. And as this moment of glory was coming to its climax, suddenly, some noise was heard near the entrance of the martial exhibition. And there was a sound of footsteps, and there was a sound of beating of thighs and beating of shoulders to indicate that somebody was coming along, some very powerful warrior was coming, and that warrior was exhibiting his strength. Everyone turned to see, and they saw a towering figure marching inside, the scowl on his face. And he came in and he bowed indifferently to Drona and said that, can I also exhibit my skills over here? He said that, I have as much skills as does Arjuna. I would like to exhibit these skills myself. So now, in one sense, this was great crashing into something which was not the right forum for Karna. This was an exhibition arranged by Drona to exhibit the skills of his students. But Drona graciously allowed this intruder to come in. He nodded his head. And immediately, this intruder, he actually was Karna. Karna, the oldest among the Pandavas, who did not know who he was. So he now started exhibiting all his skills. And he equaled every single thing that Arjuna had done. And the crowd cheered seeing this extraordinary exhibition. Now this was not just a general sporting event. It was an event specifically for Drona's students and especially the Kuru princes. So it was Drona's graciousness that he allowed Karna to come in. And as Karna came in, he not only took undue advantage, but he wanted to monopolize and steal the show himself. Now we may say, if he has skills, what's wrong with that? Yes, he has skills, but there are forums. You know, a student from a particular, if there is a graduation ceremony for students from one particular university, it is not that students from anywhere else can come and start bragging about themselves and displaying their knowledge or displaying their skills. No, they have a forum elsewhere for that. So unfortunately, that was not what Karna did. And as Karna started displaying his powers, Duryodhana's eyes opened wide. He saw the opportunity over there. He had always been burning in envy to see the success of the Pandavas. And he felt that he could take down Bhima if there was ever occasion for a fight. But who would deal with Arjuna? And at last he had found a counter to Arjuna in this person. And this person had introduced himself, "I am Karna." He had not told anything further. And he said that he ran up to Karna and embraced him, and he said, "Oh Karna, you are most welcome over here. I would be honored to have you as my friend." Karna was unknown over here, and to be received so warmly by someone melted his heart. And actually Duryodhana had his own ulterior motives. He wanted to manipulate Karna onto his side. And he said, "What can I do for you?" So Karna, he said that, "Your friendship itself is a great honor for me. I don't need anything else. But still, I have one specific request. Can I have direct combat with you? With Arjuna." Sorry. So Arjuna stiffened. And he immediately picked up his bow. And he could obviously see that Karna was very arrogant. And maybe he could right away curb the arrogance of this vain Karna. And as he picked up his bow, Duryodhana laughed, trying to inflame the animosity between Karna and Arjuna further. He says, "Okay, why do you bother, Karna? Enjoy the life, good things of life with me. Just be with me. And there is no need for a direct confrontation." So Arjuna had heard enough, and he said, he looked at Drona, and Drona nodded, and he said, "Oh Karna, now the path for the unwelcome visitor or the unwanted intruder at an event are open for you. You have not been invited here." So Duryodhana sprang to the defense of Karna, and he said that he is a warrior. Can't you see his skills? Why can he not be present over here? And Karna replied, "This is not just meant for you alone. Any warrior can come and exhibit his skills." Actually, this was his own assumption. It was not true. It was Drona who had arranged the martial exhibition, and no other warriors had come there. It was Drona's students who were meant to be there. But still, Drona tolerated this. And then Arjuna, "If you are not afraid," Karna said, "fight with me." And Arjuna immediately picked up his bow. He looked at Drona, and Drona nodded. And both of them started getting ready to fight with each other. As they got ready to fight with each other, Kripa came over there, and he said, "Wars are fought among equals. Wars are fought among equals. We know that Arjuna belongs to the illustrious Kuru dynasty. We would like to know, which dynasty do you belong to? After that, Arjuna will decide whether he will fight with you or not." Karna shrank in shame, his head hung in low down. It is obvious to everyone that he was not from any royal dynasty. So Duryodhana saw the opportunity to endear Karna to himself, and he said, he apparently gave an anti-caste speech over here. So actually, selfish people can even exhibit virtues if those virtues suit their selfish purposes. So actually, those who were virtuous, the Pandavas, he was envious of them. But and for for serving his own purposes, he was ready to do anything. So he said, he started speaking heroically, virtuous seeming words. He said, how can you think that he is not born, he is not royalty? You know, qualities of a person are not determined by birth alone. Birth is just one factor. And if you see his skills, he is obviously royalty. And now Duryodhana was also learned in Vedas. He was not learned in the conclusion of the Vedas, which was that one should develop virtues and one should devote oneself to the Lord. That he had not learned. But still, when he wanted, he could quote the Vedas also. So there are many atheists also in Indian history. In India's independence struggle, there were some politicians who were themselves atheistic, anti-spiritual, iconoclastic. But whenever they needed, they would quote from scriptures also, just to support their points. So he was utilitarian. So he started quoting from scripture, saying that so many great people are born in so many different ways, mysterious ways. He says, Drona himself was born from a vessel, Drona. Then, so was the god Kartikeya born from a set of reeds. Even the Pandavas have been born in mysterious ways. So it is not that birth alone should be used as the characteristic for determining a person's standing. And if it is that Partha will not fight with one who is not a king, then I will coronate Karna as a king right now. And he ordered the Brahmins who were there to get sanctified water. And they got sanctified water, and right in that assembly itself a throne was fetched. And with Duryodhana's supervision, the Brahmins bathed him in sanctified water, and he said, I coronate you as the king of Angadesh. And all the citizens cheered over there. And Karna was deeply moved by this. He said, how can I ever thank you for this? What honor that you have bestowed upon me. I'm forever grateful to you for this. So Duryodhana knew exactly which buttons to push so that he could get Karna to become bound more and more to him. So he said, I only want your friendship. And he said, now Partha, he is a king, now fight with him. So as they were about to fight, suddenly an elderly person came running down from the stands. That person was old and couldn't walk properly, and he used a stick to come, and he came right in the assembly in the center where Karna was sitting and went towards Karna. Karna immediately got up from his throne and bent down and touched his feet, and he said, this is my father Adhirath, and I am his son Karna. And as he spoke this, he looked at his father, and he looked at Duryodhana, and he looked at everyone else with doubt and a little bit of fear in his eyes. Not fear in terms of Kshatriya fear, but fear in terms of being dishonored. Apprehension was there. And Bhima laughed and he said, oh, you are a Suta. Your duty is not to, his duty is to look after chariots, not to ride the chariots. Oh Karna, you have no place to be here. Get out, no reason to be here. Get out of here. And Duryodhana again got angry and he sprang up and he said, you have obviously seen the skills of Karna. How can such a person with such prowess? Now Karna, when he had entered, everybody had noticed that he had some extraordinary armor around his body, which was not worn externally, but which was intrinsic to his body. It was a part of his body only. That armor would always be there. He said, he's got natural armor. What ordinary person can have that? And he also had extraordinary earrings in his ears. He said, can you not see the signs of nobility and glory in such a person? How can you deride this such a person based only on birth? So when he spoke this, some of the citizens cheered. And now a citizen said that, oh, Duryodhana is right, Duryodhana is right. And as the citizens were debating, as the elders were debating, whether there will be a fight between Karna and Arjuna or not at that time, sun started setting, and this conflict could not be settled on that day. So by the end of Drona's training, the lines of conflict had hardened. Now, the Pandavas had become virtuous and the Pandavas had become glorious. The Kauravas had also developed skills, but the Kauravas had become envious. And not only they had become envious, but they had also become united in their envy with Karna. And at that time, as they were learning the skills to fight, the seeds were also being sown for an eventual massive fight to take place. So Dronacharya, the moment of his greatest glory was when Arjuna exhibited the great skills. And in this way, the student's success is the teacher's success. So the teacher-student relationship between Drona and Arjuna is a prototype of the teacher-student relationship, wherein the teacher is dedicated to the student and the student is dedicated to the teacher. And thinking about this, all the warriors slowly started departing. All the citizens departed. And some felt that Arjuna had been the hero of the day. Others felt that Karna had been the hero. Others said Drona had been the hero. Some said, no, Duryodhana had been the hero. And in this way, everybody departed. And with this, the training period in the lives of the Kauravas and the Pandavas ended. And how Drona featured in later parts of the Mahabharata. Now after this, his main feature role comes directly in the war, and that too in the war primarily in the Drona Parva. That is from days 11th to 15th. We'll discuss about that in our next session. Thank you. Hare Krishna.